Thanks, Dean. My name's David and I'm an addict.
Hey, David.
My heart is really banging. Really banging. Something's definitely changed because a few years ago I wouldn't have really been nervous to sit here. And Chris asked me, as a sort of a debate on what day it was, but I said yes because I was rather preoccupied at the time with something else. And then I sort of went, I was laying in my bed that night and I thought, I've got to get out of it. I really got to get out of this chair. And I think, honestly, it's the first time in NA that I've wanted to duck out of something, or in my recovery, wanted to seriously duck out of something. And I've been sort of thinking about it on and off of why do I want to get out of doing this chair? I think it's because it involves being honest. And even at 10 years clean, I still find it quite difficult at times to remain an honest thread. You know, I like to, let's say, never let the truth stand in the way of a good story. So I do still tend to sort of tangent into fantasy and downright lies, I guess. But I'm going to try and keep this as honest as I possibly can. First of all, just to say a welcome to any newcomers or people that are at this meeting for the first time or find themselves in early recovery. The journey for me has been a good journey, and I hope it is a good journey for the newcomer too as it unfolds, and for everyone else in it. Okay. I guess I could sort of sum up my using in sort of picked up a glue bag at around about 15 and ended up in treatment at 39. And there was a few other bits and pieces that went on in between. But it was definitely a journey from what I know now in recovery speak of a progressive illness or disease or whatever one wants to sort of call it. It was, you know, I went from one drug to the next drug to the next drug. And then at the end of it, I really didn't give a damn what drug it was. I wanted as much of it as possible and most of yours.
I
really don't look back over my using so much anymore. I focus on my life now. I focus what I've got in my life. And I pay attention to how to get on with my life and apply myself to overcome hurdles, to surf the good times, and learn along the way. You know, when I was using, I would just get high and I really didn't give a damn about the mistakes I was making over and over and over again. Because the next hit, whatever it may have been, was all that was on my mind, and that would block out everything. And then there was always that sort of internal dialogue of, well, I'll sort it out later, you know, and the wreckage piled up and nothing ever got sorted out, obviously, until I got clean, and then the steps paved the way to make some kind of amends and to clear things up a little bit. I kind of hear it in every share that I listen to in Narcotics Anonymous, which is, I started using, then I couldn't stop using, and I used this, I used that, I used so much of this, so much of that, I robbed people, I stole, lied, cheated, and so many other things, and couldn't stop. And that's really my story. I used pretty much every drug in every combination at one point, throughout my using. you know, started on glue, started smoking hash, then got some speed, then went to coke, started shooting speed. You know, I had a Valium script running in the background the whole time. It wasn't long before heroin came onto the scene, then there was the acid house, and it goes on and on. But at the same time, what was happening was I was running from myself. I didn't seem to fit. I didn't feel like I fitted. I still don't feel like I fit. And what drugs helped me to do was not have to fit. It weren't like I took drugs and I suddenly fitted in, because I would go to a rave, I would go to a gig, I would be playing a gig or whatever. And the best I could feel was like I could bear being there amongst everyone else. I never felt this kind of connection. I mean, I hugged one or two people once on ecstasy, but I never sort of felt that lovey-dovey, you know, me kickers and dungarees. I never sort of felt like I was part of the cosmos, if you like, and everyone else seemed to be enjoying. And I think that was what was driving me, that I just never felt like I fitted anywhere. And after a while, I didn't have to fit, because, you know, the only place I would be isolated in my room or wherever I happened to be, you know. And that's not a very nice place to be, you know. It's sort of the only thing that, I mean, I didn't have a mansion, but I could have had a mansion, but really this much space would have been my space within a mansion. All the other rooms would have been unused. You know, there'd just be like a coffee table in front of me, if I was lucky enough to have a coffee table in front of me. And that was it. And whatever I could put on that. And it got to the point where I couldn't live like that anymore. I was so unhappy. I can remember scoring gear. And I'd gotten down to sort of like trying to scrounge up enough to get a £10 bag on a daily basis, and sometimes I couldn't make that. And I had the methadone and all this sort of stuff going on in the background to try and hold me. And I just remember looking at this bag one day that I scored, and I thought, you've got approximately, if the gear's any good, you've got maybe 4 to 5 hours before you've got to do this again. And so there was no peace even for that 4 or 5 hours. I was just like, oh no, I've robbed them, I've burgled them, I've nicked from there. And at that point, I was very fortunate to still have a girlfriend, I don't know how at the time. And she kept saying to me, look, you know, you've got to go to treatment, you've got to, you know, she kept kicking me out basically, and eventually I sort of was so unhappy, and I couldn't find any peace, no sanctuary or peace. And I really wanted peace. I really wanted some kind of... I didn't want to wake up in the morning, like, on a bed with nothing but sort of a sleeping bag that was opened up over me, which was just more sort of sweat residue from waking up sick every morning. The stink of this bag, and just like holding it there, just thinking, right, I'm waking up again with that sheet of frost over me, and knowing that I burnt all my bridges yesterday, so how the hell I was going to get through today, I really didn't know. Eventually went into treatment, and strange as it sounds, they were some of the best days of my life in treatment. They really were. I was lucky enough to go out to the countryside. Government paid for it, and after a couple of weeks I was detoxed, and I started to sort of experience some kind of, I wouldn't say clarity of mind, but I wasn't so fogged up as I was when I was using. And I went through that treatment centre and then went into a second stage for another 6 months. And in second stage, I started to get a little bit more of a clearer head. I still, you know, I didn't sleep a proper night's sleep. I think it was about 3 months into my cleaning up that I got about 3 hours sleep one night, and it was like, yes, oh, bliss. And then I started to look at myself. Well, I was sort of, let's say, edged towards starting to look at myself by the counsellors and things like that. And one of the things that I always used to think to myself when I was using was, Dave, you're such an arsehole. You know, don't clean up because you're going to have to deal with this arsehole. You know, clean. Just about deal with it. Stoned, you know. But when I cleaned up, I found that, I mean, other people might still think I'm an arsehole, but I sort of found that I wasn't so much of an arsehole in my own eyes. I'm kind of an all right guy. You know, I'm as honest as I can be, except when I'm telling stories. And I started to work the steps, and I worked my way through the steps, and I started to get some kind of, I think what happened was the steps permeated my being, permeated my mode of operation until, I don't know, they call it a program. Have I been programmed? Well, if I have been programmed, it's a damn sight of a better program that I was running on when I was using. And I do things my own way. I always have done. I still have trouble doing that. I've got a sponsor and I call him once a year to say Happy Christmas. It's the truth. But that's a reflection of 10 years clean, being able to run my life and organise my life. Now, I don't really have that many problems. I mean, I do call him every now and again for a chat. But it was different in early recovery. I was far more connected to him. So with the help of the programme, the way that I interact with the world, the way that I deal with the world, and in turn the response that I get from the way I interact and deal with the world is far more relaxed and orderly. You know, I'm able to sort of remain. If I work the programme, then I'm able to, that's my foundation, and I'm able then to build stuff on top of that and do stuff on top of that. You take the programme away and then my way of operating and doing what I do would be really quite erratic, unpredictable, very dishonest. You know, I have my own business, I have people working for me, and it's like there's this, it's almost like there's two of me. The first me, don't want to pay them, wants them to work longer hours and wants to pull the wool over the client's eyes to get more money when they shouldn't really be paying more money. Then I have a little bit of a friction in myself and I think, come on, Dave, you can't do that to the client. That's a human being. You wouldn't do it to your mother, so don't do it to them. And they've been working hard, so give them a fair wage. Don't be so tight. You know, so the program helps me in certain ways, and I've been. I think also that I've been able to understand the word commitment, and I think that came from a little bit of that came from having commitments right from early recovery all the way through. And if I commit to something nowadays, I see it through. And that doesn't mean I don't reserve the right to change my mind, but that's only in certain circumstances. You know, I stick to what I say I'm going to do for people, and if I'm somewhere, I'll say I'll be there. And really, that's what Narcotics Anonymous has given me, which may not seem a lot in the way I've said it, but from laying there on a mattress, hooked on smack, crack, Valium, methadone, anything I get my hands on. You know, washing it all down with really terrible super strength, white ace shit. Pardon me, I swear. To actually waking up in the morning and quite often counting my lucky stars, you know, counting my blessings, thankful that I can get out of bed, have a cup of coffee, get on with my day, you know. So that's it, really. If you are new, and you probably hear this, if you are new, you probably hear it at a lot of meetings. It's the only way to stay clean, as far as I'm concerned, is not to pick up. And I've done a lot of crazy things, but I've not picked up. Not picked up. And a lot of the crazy things I've done have helped me to find out who I really am. And the difference between going the right way and going the wrong way. I'm not someone who can think I go the right way. I tend to go the wrong way before I go the right way. I will be eternally grateful on a daily basis to the fact that I found Narcotics Anonymous, because it's something I can't explain in these rooms. It's that sort of, I'm not going to use, for a couple of reasons. One, because I don't want to lose my clean time. Strange it sounds like, it's 10 years is a long time to earn. And number two is because I don't really want to be ostracised from this group of people, all different shapes, sizes, colours, religions, opinions. And I've met some really fantastic people, and there's a lot more I've yet to meet in Narcotics Anonymous. So really, I think I've about said what I need to say. Thank you.